From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. When Marjorie Kanaan Rawlings published The Yearling in 1938, it was an instant success. She won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction, and MGM quickly bought the film rights. The movie was filmed in a densely wooded and sparsely populated part of Florida known as the Big Scrub. As part of our series On Location, NPR's Greg Allen takes us there.
A good place to start the story about the film of The Yearling is here, where Marjorie Kanaan Rawlings wrote the novel, in central Florida at her cottage in Cross Creek.
Okay, here we are on the front porch, and this is where Miss Rawlings did very much of her writing, at the round table that you see here.
Sheila Barnes is a park ranger at Rawlings' home site, now a state park. The old cottage is surrounded by orange trees. It looks like Rawlings just left. On her writing table is a Remington Rand portable typewriter, some writing paper, and a pack of Lucky Strikes. After a career as a newspaper reporter, Rawlings moved here in 1928. She began writing stories drawn from the people she met who lived here in Cross Creek and in communities out in the Big Scrub. If you drive 20 miles north from Cross Creek, you'll find Rawlings' manuscript and notes for The Yearling in Gainesville at the Rawlings Archive at the University of Florida. Archivist Flo Turcotte says in The Yearling, Rawlings wrote about one of the state's most unforgiving landscapes.
I mean, even the name, The Scrub, it sounds excoriating. It sounds like friction is involved, and it is quite a bit of rubbing up of humanity against an unforgiving kind of atmosphere and setting.
And here was the Scrub Country. Not many people lived here then, just a few pioneers. I found myself a wonderful wife. Village nearby.
In the film, with Gregory Peck playing settler Penny Baxter, the Scrub is almost a character. Years before the movie was made, Rawlings got to know it firsthand through visits to Calvin and Mary Long, who served as models for the Baxter family. The Longs and their children lived in the heart of the Scrub, in a clearing called Pat's Island. Rawlings renamed it Baxter's Island. When MGM bought the movie rights to the novel, they hired Rawlings as a consultant and location scout. Turcotte pulls out a Forest Service map of the area, on which Rawlings marked where scenes in the novel took place and where she believed they should be filmed.
Her idea was, you need to go to these different places where I've marked. You need to do your filming of Baxter's Island right where I imagined Baxter's Island to be, which of course is a fictional place.
Following Rawlings' direction, MGM soon moved into the heart of Ocala National Forest, into an area near Silver Glen Springs. The studio bought and renovated the cabin that had been home to Rawlings' friends, the Longs. They built and trucked in other buildings to complete the movie set. Richard Mills, now 90 years old, still lives nearby. He remembers working on the set when he was a young man.
They had a regular village there. My Lord, they had to. Most all of it was real quick construction, but they had an avenue you could walk down.
MGM tilled the fields, planted corn, and hired a couple to live on the farm as caretakers. The director was Victor Fleming. In the lead roles of Ma and Pa Baxter, MGM cast Ann Revere and Spencer Tracy. But as soon as the actors hit the location, they were confronted by the bugs and the heat. Film historian Robert Snyder says Tracy also found the Pulitzer Prize-winning story corny. Finally, Snyder says Tracy got fed up, called a cab, and left.
He took off. The Hollywood people went back to Hollywood. The first shoot was scrapped, even though MGM had invested, at that point, $500,000 in the film.
That was 1941. MGM was committed to The Yearling and hired Clarence Brown to direct. Brown had just finished National Velvet. He cast Gregory Peck and Jane Wyman in the leads, and in 1945, production resumed. To cast the 12-year-old Jody, Brown conducted a nationwide search and found Claude Jarman Jr. in Nashville. Jarman is now in his 70s. He remembers shortly after his casting, he was working 7 days a week in the Florida scrub.
Clarence Brown was a real perfectionist, and it's very hard dealing with animals, and particularly wild deer. And it was also dealing with someone like myself who didn't have that much experience. And I would say the average take for the movie was probably 20, 21 times. And today you see it done in 2, 3.
The cap and a shelf, the barn door, and the other end was broke down.
Take it easy, boy.
But what happened, Pa? What done it?
Bear, Bigger, look at there.
One toe's missing. On the right front paw. Old Slewfoot.
Old Slewfoot.
The Yearling is about a boy and his pet deer, but the most exciting scene in the film is the bear hunt. Although she lived just 50 miles from the shoot, Marjorie Rawlings only visited the set a couple of times. J.T. Glisson, now in his 80s, grew up in Cross Creek and still lives nearby. When he was a teenager, he was Rawlings' next-door neighbor. On the day the MGM crew was shooting the bear hunt scene, Glisson says Rawlings convinced his parents to let him skip school so he could go along to watch.
Miss Rawlings said, she told me on the way down there, she said, this is going to be a great show because these people don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. And they bring out their dogs. And Miss Rawlings said, city dogs. And they turned the dogs in. And the old bear just looked up. He knew they were damn city dogs. And one of them half barked at him. And he got up and, man, he chasing them round and round the damn thing. I mean, up and down.
Glisson says Rawlings bet Clarence Brown $20 that she could find dogs that would be able to catch the bear so he could film his scene. The next day, he went with Rawlings to a local hunter where they picked up dogs they brought to the set in her Oldsmobile. After the crew and the actors were ready and the cameras were rolling, they turned the dogs loose.
That old bear looked around and smelled, and he knowed these wasn't no city dogs. This was trouble. And God, they sailed into it. I mean, he hit one and knocked him as far as near that TV. I mean, in the air. And then the bear finally had enough, and the bear turned him down and went into the Silver Glen Run and swam across. Now, they had rented the damn bear. Now, the bear, they lost their bear.
Rawlings got her $20, and director Clarence Brown got a scene that's unlikely ever again to be equaled.
Okay, you know what that is, don't you?
Slewfoot, possibly.
Oh, you think it's a bear track?
Oh, yes, I don't think. I know. Look at this. He's a pretty good size. I mean, he's not the biggest, but...
Retired Forest Ranger Johnny Polars has brought me here to the heart of Ocala National Forest, to the place where the Yearling was shot and where Rawlings was first inspired to write her novel.
And this is the Calvin Long home site. And, of course, there's nothing here left, you know, other than that mound of dirt. There is some little pieces of brick and stuff where their fireplace was at.
The Hollywood set is long gone. So are all the buildings and fences put up by the settlers who used to live here. But for anyone who's seen the Yearling, there's something instantly recognizable. The big scrub. Greg Allen, NPR News.